trauma is often associated with shootings or war, but helplessness, depression, and anxiety can follow natural disasters, too. 3 weeks after the severe flooding in West Virginia, Carol Lofton reports that emotional healing after a disaster is a long process.
Rachel Taylor stands on the front porch of her house in White Sulphur Springs. The front door is pasted with paw prints where her dog tried to get in during the flood. He was too big to carry through the rising waters. He survived the flood and is now with family in Kentucky. But Taylor's across-the-street neighbors, the Nicelys, were swept away when their house collapsed on top of them and have since been confirmed dead. A cross marks the empty lot where their house used to be.
When I start feeling overwhelmed with this, I just look across the street at that memorial and I think there's nothing that we have lost that can't be replaced or mended.
Taylor gestures at her gutted living room. She and her husband spent 7 years renovating this 1930s Craftsman room by room. They were just about done with renovations when their home flooded.
You know, the first couple of days, it was very intense. It was kind of crisis mode. Maybe that's the way I would describe it, because you didn't really have time to think about it and process it.
Once the full extent of the damage set in, Taylor says she developed severe nausea and car sickness to the point of not being able to drive.
Talking to different people, they said that's probably your nerves, you know, the stress level. You don't realize your body's just, you know, having a response to this in a way that's not normal for you.
Taylor worries that the houses in her neighborhood will remain abandoned and that she, her husband, and her 14-year-old daughter won't feel safe here anymore. She plans to rebuild, but says her family will likely sell the house and move.
The words we use when we talk about it are, I don't know if I have it in me, I'm not sure I can do this again, things like that. And then we just say, well, you know, we're going to take it one day at a time.
This kind of response is normal following natural disasters, says Marcy Vaughn, who leads the state-funded West Virginia Crisis Response Team.
It's a physical aspect of stress response. It will affect the body's ability to concentrate, to rest, and to be able to function. That cognition is slowed.
Vaughn's team offers support, counseling, and referrals for further mental health care at local behavioral health centers.
From the behavioral health perspective, we find that we're more in need after the 10th, 12th day, just because immediate needs of food, clothing, and shelter take precedence.
In the first few days following the flood, Vaughn said her team split their time between helping people replace lost psychiatric medications and looking for signs of mental distress in people at shelters or feeding stations.
We see fatigue, problems with cognition. You have individuals who walk into a supply center and they have no idea what they need.
Church disaster assistance teams and the organization Hope Animal Assisted Crisis Response also offered support and a meaningful presence to victims. A 2012 study found that while most people bounce back a few months after a disaster, if they have ongoing stressors, such as lack of a home, financial challenges, and repeated exposure to trauma, people will continue to struggle.
As the fatigue sets in and the frustration, we see an increased need for behavioral health intervention.
As for Vaughn, she says their real work will begin when national organizations and media have lost interest. For NPR News, I'm Carol Lofton.
And that story is part of a reporting partnership of NPR, West Virginia Public Broadcasting, and Kaiser Health News.